Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to Starseed Radio Academy, empowering Starseed to better serve the planet.
Welcome to Starseed Radio Academy. It's Tuesday, April 24th, 2012, and I'm your host, Arielle Taylor, with my co-host, Sierra. Lavendar is working on last-minute details for our trip to France, and she sends her love. Our special guest this evening is Michael Thomas, whom some may call a modern-day Renaissance man. His main focus this evening is his new four-week course called The Golden Man, Awakening Men of Earth to the Feminine in a Quest to Revive Relationships with Women and Bring Balance Back to the Earth. We'll also be talking about his seminar called Conscious Conversations, which is another of the courses at his Earth School. Having had two walk-ins, he'll share those experiences with us and how it's helped him to help others align with the coming times. His diverse background covers 25 years in broadcasting, having won several broadcasting awards, doing counseling, Reiki and massage, teaching Osho meditation and Tantra workshops. He's also a model, actor, life coach, tour guide, done marketing, taught actors, and casting. His new website called Earth School is at www.myearthschool.com, and it helps to move consciousness to a higher level in community, classes, and coaching. He's been a Green TV host since 2006 and also hosted Green Planet Alter Eco for the Discovery Channel. We'll be welcoming Michael in just a few moments, and we know you'll enjoy his visit with us. We planned on having another segment of High Strangeness with Anastasia this evening, but as they say, due to technical difficulties, it will be continued next week instead. And speaking of next week, Lavendar, Sierra, Rose, and I will be in southern France on the Sacred France Starseed Quest, hosted by Kathleen McGowan, Philip Coppins, and Starseed Hotline. We'll be gone for three Tuesdays, so Anastasia will be your guest host here with Sahar while we're away, and she'll be interviewing some fascinating guests, so keep tuning in. We want to thank Sahar for hosting the switchboard this evening, and for those with questions or comments tonight, the call-in number for listening is 917-889-8292. And then remember to press 1 on your keypad so we know you want to come on the air. If you like our show, remember to click follow on our show page and then tell a friend about us. For our new listeners, our main site is starseedhotline.com, where we have a lot of vital information for Starseed in our Vault of Knowledge. The entire site is coded for Starseed activation. We also have a support forum for Starseed at starseedhotline.ning.com. Plus, we're on iTunes if you'd like to download our shows to go. We'll get started with Michael Thomas in just a moment, but first I'd like to let you know that if you want to contact us privately, the toll-free number for our website is 888-881-0881. Our Stage 1 Starseed confirmations are based on Lavendar's discovery of star markings and your natal astrological chart. And the Stage 2 session is a one-on-one phone consultation. You can find out if you have star markings and how they determine your natural state and rites of passage. We now offer a Stage 4 support service with Sierra for contactees and abductees, so check out Sierra's World on our main site. And now I'd like to introduce my co-host for the evening, Sierra.
Hello, hello. It's so wonderful to be at the helm again this evening, so thank you.
Well, it's great to have the girls together here.
Wonderful, wonderful. I would like to introduce my good friend Michael to the listeners. I know Michael through Landmark Education. Just to remind everybody, I was on staff at the Denver Center in 2009 with Landmark Education, and I was put in contact with Michael through an associate, a very good friend of mine, Jennifer, who also leads programs for Landmark Education. So Michael and I have worked together a little bit here. He had originally contacted me because of his walk-in experience. And then we've gone on to bring up the level of engagement and our friendship, and I just fell in love with his idea of the first school. So, Michael, are you there?
I am. Good afternoon, good evening, and good morning to you ladies and to everybody listening.
Oh, it's so good to have you on the show. I think that, you know, if you want to talk a little bit, if you're led to talk a little bit about Landmark and your experience with that or any of your background experience, we definitely want to hear from you about your walk-in experience, what that was like for you, and then your mission that as it came out of.
Great. Well, that's a great place to start. And, you know, back in after post-2000, and 9/11, obviously things were a bit sideways on the planet with what man had done unto himself with the events that took place on that fateful day. And I was already meditating heavily, but prior to that, I had come back from India. I was a disciple and sannyasin with Osho, formerly Bhagwan Sri Rajneesh, and I had put in a call to God, an invisible phone, if you will. As actors, we call that space work, when you make up something that's not there, like you pretend you're driving a car or you pretend you're talking on a telephone. So I picked up this invisible telephone prior to 9/11, and I'd asked God to show me the way. There must be something else to this life than the way I was living it, in search of the eternal buzz, was kind of my motto in life. And I was chasing anything that would alter my consciousness for higher or for lower. And Osho came into my life at that time. I learned to meditate and go much deeper with my own awareness. Things fell away, like chasing women, indulging in smoking and drinking and these other behaviors that tend to be the first gateway to mankind. And some people don't ever make it through that first stable. But those things kind of fell away. Yet when I got back from India, I was still seeking something more, and I found myself tripping and falling and meditating 2 or 3 hours a day, painting and drawing. I had an illustration company. I was doing calendars and refrigerator magnets and greeting cards. And at that time is when the people in my acting class recommended Landmark Education. And I knew that your language and your creation as a human being using the spoken word and the written word and the thought patterns that create language that then create your reality, I knew in knowledge that that is the water we swim in or the air we breathe, yet I still found myself struggling to create the life that I wanted. So with great admiration and gratitude, I thank Courtney and Rob and the people from my acting class back in the year 2001 after 9/11 for inviting me to come and participate in an introductory seminar at Landmark Education, at which time I registered in December of 2001 and did the next available Landmark Forum in January of 2002. And it was in that weekend where I was just profoundly shown the relationship that language has to the human experience and how we have forgotten about this game that we all chose to come play when we were hovering above this beautiful blue marble in zero space, saying, hey, that human experience is fun. I want to go do that again. Just like if you were, you know, at a fair or a carnival and you saw a ride and you rode it once and you get off, maybe you feel a little queasy or maybe you need to take a break for a second. But then you're like, you know, let's go ride that one again. So all that really became clear to me through the work of Landmark Education, that we are creating this existence, we are creating this experience. We very much had a choice to be here, and we very much created this game, and we forgot that we created it. That opportunity of seeing that was so deep and rich that it was my previous soul's, the previous inhabitant of my earthbound body, it was his mission for 10 years to make sure that anyone and everyone he touched, talked to, ran into, knew from the past, present, or would know in the future, would find out about Landmark Education, be able to choose for themselves whether or not they wanted to participate in the work that the Landmark Education Corporation offers. And during that time, Jagran was my name, my Osho name, and my sannyas name is actually Prem Jagran, and that means love awakening in Sanskrit. And his mission was to awaken people to the love they have for themselves, the love they have for each other, and his love for the earth and for humanity. So 10 years of serving as a person who assisted, and like you, Sierra, I also spent some time on staff and led many different programs to countless tens of thousands of people. And if you knew me for the past decade, if you knew Jagron Wosi Thomas, you knew that Landmark Education was important to him and it mattered to him, and you knew that he could show you the connection between the life you wanted and participating at Landmark Education and how those two would give you kind of the keys to the kingdom. So that decade of this body's 42-year-old life was the best 25% of a life one could spend, as far as I'm concerned, and any of the people listening to this live call today on the 24th day of the fourth month of this year, 2012, you know, encourage you to jump in the waters there at Landmark Education if you haven't already taken advantage of those programs. I did 54 of the 81 programs they offer, and the life I have is really easy, you know, even after my walk-in last year, which we'll get to, but very fond of all the people there, the staff and the program leaders, the people who assist, and the global work that's being done there. And we're just getting started. You know, there's many things to do in the world, but that is one of those fundamental pieces that I just want everyone to have, is their relationship to their language, to their self, and to their true purpose and what they're doing here.
Yeah, that's wonderful, and it's a really good point, because if I hadn't have been on staff at Landmark Education, I don't think I would have been able to withstand the kind of stress it put on me mentally, physically, spiritually, with the graded walk-in, the integration process. And so it gave me tools to deal with the human side of it, of things, and I'm just forever grateful. And so, yeah, I just wanted to chime in there a bit about that. It was just it's a beautiful, beautiful tool, just like anything else that we have out there to help us with our human beingness and our work walking on Earth. So thank you for sharing that.
You're welcome. Thanks for asking about that piece of my existence. It's all part of everything, and I'm very fond of the people there, so do look them up, landmarkeducation.com, forever grateful, and forever a fan.
Absolutely. So, when was the, we had mentioned two walk-in experiences. Talk a bit about that with us. I wanted to establish with our listeners your record of service up to this point, the human being.
Thank you. Yeah,
and then
thank you.
The next step, which is the walk-in experience. And talk about what that was like for you and the life that you had and the life that you now have.
Well, I'd say that first real break in existence that those of you who've had that that quickening, that rapture, that apocalyptic event that we determine is a break in the self, the first time that ever really occurred for me was prior to my master Osho choosing me and finding that path to meditation. I think that was the first real break in a personality or a character. And I just associated that to what they call in the Greek term a metanoia, M-E-T-A-N-O-I-A, and that's a spiritual shift in context, a disruption in the way life is going. And that, you know, you could also call it an aha moment or an epiphany or a break in reality. There's lots of many different modalities. There are people with PhDs and textbooks and distinctions and medical terms, but the most current walk-in experience that I have had the privilege to have had what happened in late last May of 2011. The lead-in to that was profound in that my wife at the time had gone back to the Midwest to care for her mother, who was in ill health at the time and is now thriving beyond anyone's prayers answered. And I'm grateful that she is doing very well today. Looks like an entirely different human being. So happy for her that our our prayers were answered there. And while the wife was in the Midwest, I had time alone for the first time in my, 41 years I'd been by myself. And as somebody whose star sign place of origin puts him in the Libra category, very happy to be in the scale family and not be a living, breathing zodiac. I love the scales. I love balance. I love the feminine and masculine. I love the light and dark. I love the day and the night. I love the dry and the wet, the heat and the cold. Give me everything in the middle, knowing that we're constantly in flux. That Libra sun sign that I have had me pursuing the balance of being alone for the first time. So I discovered Bikram yoga, which is a 90-minute, 24-pose yoga practice that's been developed over decades in the East and now is very popular in the West. It's in a room of 105 to 111 degrees. And when I found that through my friend Chris in San Diego, it shattered my relationship to my body as an instrument. My former wife used to call your body your game piece. And if you look at the old game, nobody really talks about Monopoly much anymore, but you have the little top hat and the Scotty dog and the thimble. If you want to play the game of being human, you've got to have a game piece. And although I would talk about my game piece being my body, I didn't have a relationship to it like it mattered to keep it in good running condition. You with me?
Absolutely. And I think that we all struggle with that at one point or the other in our lives.
Yeah, and that hot yoga, just yoga in general, but particularly the hot yoga, because I don't prefer extreme temperatures, which is why I enjoy living in Southern California, because you can always find an ocean breeze or some shade, but you are in the desert, and the air is relatively ocean scent. So I do enjoy this part of the planet to call home, but the yoga in specific with the hot yoga created a dynamic where I had to look at myself in a mirror for 90 minutes every morning at 5 a.m. till 6:30 a.m. And I was sweating, creating balance. Again, as a Libra, it was, very interesting to watch my body grow into a balance. And they were doing a yoga challenge at this particular studio, and I took on the challenge. If you did it 15 days in a row, you won a case of coconut water. So just free coconut water, I'm in. What do I have to do? So I took on the yoga challenge. It was 15 or 30 days. And on the 16th day after I got out of class, my knees said, take a break. And that's one of the things about hot yoga you've got to be careful of. Those of you who are yogis or are inspired by this conversation about your game piece and exploring the world of hot yoga, is the heat tends to desensitize the body's signals that tell you you're experiencing pain, strain, or you're pushing yourself beyond the point of injury. So I pulled out of the yoga class after 16 days and went back about a week and a half later, and then reduced my practice to 3 to 4 days a week. But if you knew me in March, April, and May of last year, you knew that if I was addicted to something, it was hot yoga. And it was that moment that my body got tuned and my physical game piece was structured and ready for the shift that would occur, which was the walk-in. And I was also dealing with some other life stressors that we all have, my relationship, my finances, my worldly accountabilities, my integrity with myself, and what really mattered to me. And I had the umbrella of Landmark to do all that work inside of, but those of you that have had a walk-in experience know it really transcends language, and you are quite retarded in a sense that your ability to articulate reality is retarded. You just can't really find the words. So that was when I knew something was happening, and I wasn't quite clear what it was. What I did know was I wasn't crazy. There was nothing wrong with me, and something divine was happening, and I was humbled to bear witness to the shift in my soul. So that was the key point in May, and I spent the rest of May, June, and half of July very much in a blackout state where I only remember a couple of things. I had a few friends that were very, very advanced and able to hear my story, that I didn't know who I was anymore, that I wake up in a panic in the middle of the night because I didn't know where I was, who I was. My cat was my familiar, but everything else was just kind of took me time to register. And it was in July when I phoned on the recommendation of my former wife, a psychic who had worked with my neighbor. Her name is Kiralee. And Kiralee had had a vision a year prior, working with the spirit realm and the non-physical light beings from which we all are born from, the starseed community. And they had told her, in a year's time, we're going to send you a man who's very integral to the healing of the earth and the healing of humanity, and you'll know when he walks through your door. And it was on that day, July 15th of 2011, I called her and said, I need to see you. I need to create some reality, and I need somebody who has a phone line to the other side so I can know I'm not crazy. And when she saw me for my hour-long session, 3.5 hours later, we were crying and laughing and hugging, and it all made sense. So that was the thumbnail, cliff note, walk-ins for dummies experience from my take. And it's really only been, Sierra, and maybe you can speak to this too for the viewers, the last 10 months that I've experienced the French term for when a film kind of comes undone, where you realize the butler did it, the denouement of my walk-in experience has only really come to pass, where I'm now at peace with it and I can talk cogently about it, in the last 6 to 8 weeks. So this was not a matinee. It wasn't even a double feature. It really has consumed the better part of the last 11 months of my life.
It does take some time, you know, and your experience is a replacement walk-in, so a complete walk-in is what we're talking about. So we make the distinction between the different levels of walk-in, but there's the braided walk-in, and there's the, Aria, what's the terminology when it's a complete walk-in?
When the terminology for a complete walk-in?
Yeah.
Well, I think that pretty much says it all. There are temporary walk-ins, there's permanent walk-ins. As you are, Sierra, a braided walk-in where the original soul doesn't actually leave, but there is a blending of two in the one body. But a brand-new tenant, it could be a permanent or temporary walk-in, depending on the work that needs to be done.
Thank you.
Yeah, so, yeah, Michael, you've already had two, so.
Let's not do three's a charm on this one. I'm fine. I'd rather ride out the rest of my life in this incarnation. I don't really, and if that's what Spirit wants, then I surrender, but as always. But I've never been a cosmic human astronaut, but I can only imagine the physical sensation of the G-forces of reentering this planet, the spiritual G-force reentry of coming back into the human form with no capability of writing yourself a love note, reminding yourself that you've been here before. I mean, I don't ever want to do that again. So let's just keep it at two times this life, shall we, ladies?
Okay.
Oh, it's something. It really is. It is interesting to bring words to. And, in fact, that's sort of the place in my book where I'm at right now, where I'm explaining what it was like and trying to command the words. It's a good analogy you made. It's like likened to being, you know, retarded in a way, or not able to really express oneself. So it's been a challenge, but I do understand, and I can completely get, you know, the experience that you were going through for 11 months. And I understand, too, that it's new and it's fresh, but I want to acknowledge you that even though it's only been about 6 weeks that you've been ready and willing to talk about this, you've just come exploding out onto the scene with this mission, you know, remembering what it is that you're here to do. why don't you talk a little bit about that?
Thank you for the, and I want to also thank you for the acknowledgement. You're welcome, and I want to thank the listeners. You know, I know from having been here before and from being here now that you exist because there's something listening to you. And I know through my meditation that if you connect with this divine one love intelligence that governs us all, that you're never alone. And it was only until I moved into my own place last year and have lived alone with my cat and spent an hour every morning getting up and sitting in that space, that silent space with you, that I have come to know myself. So I want to thank everybody for the listening you're bringing to this program, because I know you're listening, and it gives me the speaking that comes from what needs to be said. And I'm just the voice on the radio. There's no new ideas in the idea sphere. I just happen to be the current version of what's broadcasting now. So I'm thankful to be on the program.
Yeah.
So the vision that I caught in my meditation after I was done over the last several months of enjoying things like Hawaii and driving and food and women and, you know, Guinness. I've had a couple of pints of Guinness that I don't remember them ever tasting this good before. These are those earthly bound things, like what kids wait for Christmas. They want a toy, or they wait for a, in the West, the Halloween holiday, they wait for the candy, or when we wait for a birthday because we want to blow candles out, make a wish, and then eat some kind of sugary, cakey treat. I have gone through all those spaces as Michael, being back here on planet Earth, and now sitting, meditating, and being here ready to hear what my mission is. Those of you that aren't familiar with walk-ins, one of the really key distinctions that the ladies didn't cover was that you're on a mission, and there is a sudden shift in what's important to you. And we are drawn to do grid work and vortex work and work with the field, the frequency, the matrix. As an actor, I will often refer to films. So if you can watch any film about you know, Star Trek or the Matrix or Back to the Future, and you just look at the fabric of our being, wormholes in Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure, there's really lots of visuals that you could download through that medium of film to give yourself a picture that will tell the story of the opportunity to connect to the divine and grab the message, catch the tail of the vision. The newest one I recommend to everybody is watching TED Talks. If you're not watching TED Talks, I recommend tuning in online. You can just go in any search engine and type in TED Talks and type in any subject that you're interested in. It has been created for the purpose of educating and waking up as many human beings as possible now that we have this creation called the World Wide Web, this global digital consciousness in which we can all swim inside of each other's thoughts and find out, finger quotes, what's trending now versus following what, you know, the Kardashians are doing. Let's elevate our intention around what's important and continue to educate yourself about what your tools are and what your gifts are. So catching the tail of the vision in my morning meditation, bringing it back around to sitting with the divine and just being in that oneness, it was during that time that I was clear what I was here for. And this is over time. You know, anytime you want to master something, it will take you mastering the failure of that something to acquire mastery. Many people don't have the sustained and determined practice necessary for mastery in this digital, online, give it to me now, 140 character tweeting world. People have lost the patience to actually wait for it. And spirit will always give it to you, but you've got to wait for it with a sustained and determined practice. So my meditation of an hour a day really has tapped me into the field, the frequency, the matrix, that idea sphere where there's nothing new. but everything's hovering above you, waiting for you to catch the tail and pull it down. Ask any artist if they're in the zone. Ask any athlete when they're in the zone. Ask any musician when they're in the zone, and they'll tell you, I don't remember singing that song. It was just God working through me. They caught the vision, and they got out of the way, but it was the sustained and determined practice of that sport, of that music instrument, of that skill and trait, be it an actor or a writer. It was the practice that got them to the point where they could catch the tail of the vision and pull it down and channel that inspired whatever, fill in the blank. So I looked up the word patience. I'm a wordsmith. I love language. I love words. This the antonym, one of the opposites to the word patience is suffering. And when I look at people in the world suffering, what I really want to ask them is, what are you not getting that you've been waiting impatiently for? And for most people who are suffering in life around anything, it's because we've lost our patience. So to practice something requires a great deal of patience. And that's when the Golden Man came to me. The course that I'll be teaching on Mondays in May, starting May 7th, is the Golden Man. That came to me only because I had been meditating for 12 years and I had a sustained and determined practice. Now, Osho's got hundreds of different meditations. He wrote over 400 books, and you can watch him on YouTube and buy videos and CDs and all of that. You know, beautiful, beautiful version of the incarnation of the Almighty Holy Spirit was Osho. And I know he was the real deal because they murdered him. So if you have any question about if someone's the real deal, just look and see what mankind did to him or her, you know? That's my barometer, everybody, for if something is the real deal. Everybody's waiting for Jesus Christ. Well, I think he's been back 500 times. We just keep sticking a knife in his chest, you know? So the opportunity to download that divine Christ light is right there in your practice of sitting and being in the space of nothing, sitting in the silence. And that's when the Golden Man came to me.
Now, you had just referenced Christ, basically, the divine masculine, form of the divine masculine. And one of the reasons, well, the main reason, I'm not going to beat around the bush, I wanted to have you on the show was to really highlight and bring forward the aspect of the divine feminine. We're getting ready to leave and go to France and visit all the sacred sites of Mary Magdalene. And to heal, to start the healing process, and to start to bring and pull forward the divine goddess, call for the divine goddess on the planet, and to write or to bring back into balance, as you were. You know, I'm also a Libra, so I'm very fond of everything balanced myself. And this has just been a huge, huge missing for me. And in the world that I was raised in, there has been so much injustice done to the divine woman. It's almost been completely, the divine feminine, it's almost been completely eradicated, you know, not only from our society, but almost from the world. And there's still lots of attacks on it in many different forms.
Yes.
And I wanted to bring you on because I was so inspired by your vision about bringing about and calling forward and teaching men and women how to honor and call on the divine feminine.
Merci beaucoup pour the. I would keep going into my French, but I'm living in Southern California, which is essentially, thank God, being taken back by Northern Mexico, from which it belongs in the first place. So my Spanish is rusty and my French is very dusty, but I'm thrilled. I think it's brilliant that you're making the pilgrimage to walk the steps of Mary's life and to celebrate the Christ light and to bring truth to what actually got assassinated. You know, what got crucified was the relationship between man and woman. And I've had an opportunity to have some very rich and transformational conversations with you, Sierra, and with you, Ariel, about Mary Magdalene and about Jesus the Christ. And both of those conversations altered my, you know, cellular makeup around the preconceived notions, ideas, and views that I had about who Jesus was. And I want to just go back to my my place of origin. I was born, my first name was Thomas. My middle name was Michael. And now I go by Michael Thomas. But when I was born, my grandmother was a Catholic school teacher. God bless her heart. She's over 99 years old today. She turned 99 last month. And I don't think she's going anywhere soon, even though if you looked at her, you'd be like, wow, that woman's clearly in the final hours of her life. She's all guts and glory and has a bat phone to God, is what I've been saying my whole life. I've yet to meet someone who has that kind of tin can on a string conversation with the divine. And I owe everything, every ounce of my spirituality and all three iterations of my soul's presence in this game piece to Josephine Butler Zaharis. That woman is a godsend. She has been sent from on high to awaken, educate, and enlighten. And she had taught countless first graders to read, write, and perform and practice arithmetic in a Catholic school, the St. Mary's Catholic School of the hometown in which is my place of origin. And my grandmother and I have conversations on that same tin can string line from California to New York on a regular basis. And I'm grateful to have that connection with her where I don't actually have to write her a letter or pick up the telephone, although I still do those things as well. I'm excited for her exodus from the body so she could be more accessible to me and have less earthly distractions dealing with her physical pain and whatnot. So I bring up my grandmother because her daughter was the woman that gave me birth. And Betsy spent over two decades as a hospice nurse, ushering people out of and off of the mortal coil. And conversations at my breakfast table over, you know, puffed rice and Cheerios weren't, you know, necessarily average. We would talk about death and dying. And it was at a very young age I began to get related to human beings' greatest lament, which is you are going to die soon. And as a young boy, that was something that was around me so much that I looked forward to death because of the light and the hallway and the spirits and the conversations with God and hovering above your body and going back into being a light being from which we all came from zero space. And it was that upbringing that had me along with, you know, Ariel was masterful. By the way, everybody, if you haven't worked with these ladies, if you ingest, like if this were National Public Radio, I'm going to take a minute to do a pledge drive. And I'd like you to consider opening up your checkbooks, your PayPal accounts, your debit cards, your 401k, and you know if you're ingesting the radio here on Starseed Radio, I'm inviting you to actually give back to these women and Lavendar, who couldn't be on the call today, but I know she's here in spirit because they're all coming. I want you to know that these women are you know, they're, even though we call the Golden Man classes about currency and about wealth and about self-worth as a man in relationship to the divine feminine, I want you to know that these two women have contributed to me in just a few conversations in a way that far exceeds any monetary value that I could place on that. And, you know, Sierra, you were there for me at 11:30 p.m. on a Saturday night when I sat in Jen's living room in Denver back on September 10th of 2011, when Jen looked into my eyes and said, "Where's Jagron and who's this guy?" I burst into tears and I said, "Thank you for recognizing that I'm not the person who used to live here. I'm tired of trying to keep up his masquerade. I'm not that person. Now, how did you know that that wasn't me? And then she shared a little bit about her special gift. And she said, you need to talk to my friend Sierra. She gave me your number, and I texted you before midnight on a Saturday. And you got back to me instantly and said, welcome home. And then you referred me to your website, which is where the walk-in got distinguished for me. And it literally, word by word, letter by letter, vowel by consonant by vowel, it articulated exactly what had happened to me. Like if you gave someone a chocolate chip cookie and then you gave them the recipe and the ingredients and how to make them, you literally showed me how I got cooked up as a walk-in. And that gave me such a peace, and that welcome home was the perfect, you know, you ladies always say the perfect thing. So I'm just, you know, I thank God for you, and I request that the people listening who've never experienced your services, you know, pull some money out of your earthly account and invest in your life by taking advantage of the services that are offered here at the Starseed Radio Network and with all the work that y'all do with the Starseed Network, because it's not just for, you know, wacko Pleiadian nut jobs like yours truly. It's, I think, for every man and woman on the planet can benefit from looking into their own sun sign, astrological, you know, star DNA blueprint and working with you both. So, and I know you that wasn't something I told you I was going to do, but that's my pledge drive. So call in now. Switchboards are open. We take cash, credit, and check, and PayPal. So thanks, everybody, for listening, and keep us on the air for another year, okay?
Sounds like you've done one of those before.
Yeah, I've been in radio since I was 15, and I'm 42, so we talked about my 25 years of broadcast experience. Thank God the human body and the brain is designed like a hard drive on a computer, that if you gave your computer to somebody, they would be able to read all your files. They would be able to manipulate all of your applications. They could put a new picture on the desktop, but it's still the same hardware. So I'm so grateful as a walk-in to have selected this body, and I thank Jagran Boise Thomas every day for leaving this body to me in such good condition and leaving all of his earthly affairs in such good condition so that I can now fulfill on the mission that I'm here to fulfill on. So that kind of is where I was going with all that, was giving you a little background of where I came from and why I've been called the perfect storm of educator, to bring to people, specifically men but also women, this healing of humanity's broken bond between the Jesus and Mary chain, the broken link that has weakened our species and our experience of the being of human and the humanity. So, you know, and I joke and I say, Hillary 2016, I don't care about your politics. It's so not... I mean, it's the paint on the front door. It doesn't matter. But I'm so thrilled that we are in an era where we've got women positioned in a place of power. You know, I used to love hearing Margaret Thatcher speak in the 70s when I was in school. And I used to think it was so cool that that woman ran what was at the time still one of the world's superpowers, even though they were waning to the Soviet Union and the Americas at the time. But I'm excited for that opportunity of a woman who is very much a woman to step into power. And I look forward to the day when I can cast my vote for a feminine to be in the highest elected office of the country in which I call my home. So
from
I'm glad you two ladies are running the joint too. Yeah, from my lips to where?
To God's ears.
Yeah, hello. And I know you're listening, God, so hook it up. Oh, man.
Oh, it's wonderful. You know, we have all these conversations, you know, about, you know, masculine, feminine, man and woman, and we tend to forget that in this carnation and in this playing field here on Earth, the masculine and the feminine got split and put into two different bodies. And, yes. you know, as a grand experiment. And it's not as though it's meant to be like us against them and all the craziness that's ensued for really only 2,000 years, because there was a time on Earth where the divine feminine and the divine masculine were together and thrived. And it's only been in the last 2,000 years with a great catastrophe and just a purposeful onslaught. They're purposefully trying to kill off the divine feminine through some of these certain religious factions and certain agendas that have been running. But there was a time when the divine feminine flourished and there was peace on the land. And what we forget is, you know, there's so many different ways to be. And even though we are split into two different bodies, a woman can have a balance between her divine masculine and her divine feminine inside herself, as well as a man can have a balance between his divine masculine and his divine feminine in himself. And we want to try to learn how to express that in ways in our interpersonal relationships, even if we are in same-sex coupling, you know, even, you know, whatever the situation may be, we can always find a way honor the divine masculine and the divine feminine in ourselves and in others.
Yes. So good. It's just refreshing. It's like oxygen to hear you speak about this in a way that's being archived for eternity for people to listen. And I wanted to, this will be a funny segue. I wanted to quote Beastie Boys, you know, the greatest band in the history of music. Are you ladies familiar?
Yeah.
Yeah, some people get confused. They think the Beatles are the greatest band, or Elvis, or, you know, Sade. She's right up there. But it is one of my beliefs, and I hold it steadfast and true that Beastie Boys are the greatest band in the history of music. For a couple of reasons. Okay, one is people don't understand Beastie Boys music. They have created over 10 studio albums, and most people only remember them for, you know, Fight for Your Right to Party when they were throwing beer on the crowd, right? And if you're not familiar with Beastie Boys music, they are a trio of 340-something men that grew up in Manhattan and greater New York City, the five boroughs. And they toured with Madonna and Run DMC back in the 80s and were the first, you know, white rap hip-hop group, and broke all these records that were later broken by MC Hammer and Eminem and some of these other people. But they really brought the art of the spoken word with the breakbeat hip-hop sound to the mainstream. And they just happened to be, in their human game piece, three Caucasian Jewish men. And Beastie Boys is an acronym. And most people don't know that Beastie is an acronym. And Ariel or Sierra, I'll give you each $100 if one of you can tell me what the acronym stands for without cheating, having seen it on any of my materials.
I'm out of the game.
I don't know either.
Okay, good. Well, it gives me great honor to bestow onto you the definition of B-E-A-S-T-I-E of Beastie Boys. So follow me. B-E-A-S-T-I-E, boys entering anarchistic states towards internal excellence. So I'll say it one more time. Beastie actually stands for boys entering anarchistic states towards internal excellence. It is about the exact thing that the three of us exist for. We exist to raise the awareness, to wake people up so they can know themselves to be the beneficial presence on the planet that's being requested of their life's path. And that's what their music is about. So that was a long prelude to a quote that I want to share with you from one of their studio albums, and it's from Ill Communication, which was their sixth studio album, and the track is called Sure Shot. And Adam Yauch, who's right now recovering from throat cancer. His name in the band is MCA, for MC Adam, and he's a devout Buddhist. He is responsible for the rising of the Milarepa Foundation, which is the world's largest 501c3 nonprofit fighting for human rights of freeing the Tibetan people from the oppression through the Chinese government. And it is through his supporting and backing of that organization, which had $500 in the bank when he said, I'm going to back your cause. And now they're the global umbrella for the Free Tibet movement. By the way, the average Tibetan citizen spends over 20 years in prison during the course of their lifetime, if people aren't aware of the crimes against humanity that are committed by the communist government that oversees their neighbor in Tibet and the Nepalese mountains. So without getting political about that particular shift in consciousness that's happening in the high mountains of Nepal, the quote is from MCA, we're going back to now honoring the feminine energy. You knew I'd get there. It just took me a minute. Thank God for two-hour radio programs. So here it is, MCA. It's a quote from the song Sure Shot. I want to say a little something that's long overdue. The disrespect to women has got to be through. To all the mothers and the sisters and the wives and friends, I want to offer my love and respect to the end. And they said that in a song that came out back in, 1994. And their lyrics to me are, just for me, as profound as those found in the Good Book. And any version of the Testament and the Bible, any New Testament Bible, Book of Job, all the writings and teachings of the Christ light, to me, I put the Beastie Boys lyrics as a second to those teachings, because you can really find in all of their lyrics what's happening on planet Earth, and they usually sing about it before anybody's got their attention on it. So I really think that those three men are tapped into the divine energy that we experience when we all meditate or pray. And I thank every day for their, I thank God every day for their music, and I listen to their music every day, and I always hear something newly, even though I know all their songs by heart. And I have met all of them except for Adam Yauch, and I look forward to meeting him one day, and I'm grateful that he's healing, and they really are, even though their first album talked about, chasing girls and getting laid and treating women like property, they in turn became the Beastie Boys they prophetically gave themselves the name as by elevating their awareness and now becoming vegans, Buddhists, and champions for the women's movement and the human spirit. So if they can do it, and make all that money and have all that success and, eat all that good food and fly around the world and entertain people, then us commoners really have a very easy pathway to transcend our own humanness and awaken to honoring the divine goddess. And, our mother is our earth, and our earth is our mother as well. I speak of the divine feminine woman in the human form as much as I speak in our earth energy as well. So that's in the same breath. So all that just to work in what I do on everything I do, which is put a Beastie Boys quote in there. So thanks for listening through all that chaos. Oh, I love this life. Are we having fun yet?
Yeah, absolutely.
All right, good.
Absolutely.
And I know when you ladies get to France and coming back to, Mary Magdalene and the deconstruction of the feminine that the modern man is responsible for. I read that quote to just take responsibility for all men and apologize for what we've done. And I want you to know that we're all very, very sorry that we let it go that way. And that's the end of that. We're declaring that complete, and disrespecting women has got to be through. And want to offer my love and respect to the end. So that's all I got to say about that for now.
Wonderful.
Mm.
Thank you.
Mm. Yeah, that's what it looks like to be the golden man, by the way.
Mm.
in a sustained and determined practice. Yeah.
Talk a little bit about what's offered with the classes, then, you know, to give people a taste. I mean, do you offer classes just to men, or can women take some of these classes? What do you have? What have you got developing?
Well, the Golden Man class begins at 5:30 p.m. Pacific time. It's a teleclass, much like we're operating with this internet radio show. We're on telephones and using modern technology to communicate. It'll be over the telephone. It'll be recorded for people who, for which that time on Monday nights does not work for them. The class is designed for men, but I encourage women to tune in and listen and register and participate, because it will provide a couple of things. One, it'll recreate their experience of being persecuted for 2,000 years. Two, it'll give them hope. And I hate the word hope, because I really don't believe there's any hope coming. Look, we're either going to turn this ship around and sort ourselves out and get back literally and figuratively in bed and in love with each other again for the first time, or it's just not going to turn out. And one of the reasons why Jagran got out of this body was because he very much couldn't shift his awareness from fear to love. Even though his name was Love Awakening, given by his master, he struggled to come from love and not from fear. And his last, some of his last words were, "I got to get out of here. Just get me out of here. I can't take this anymore." And he got his wish. So he's happy and swimming out, dating the seven sisters out there in the Pleiades, probably hitting on some of them. And he's probably... I just know he's doing very well, and now Michael is here now to bring truth and justice and worship to the divine goddess, and that is what really matters to me today, and that is why I'm here. So the Golden Man class is broken down into four classes, and it can be for men or women, Sierra, to answer your question, and I'm working one-on-one with women right now, using White Tantra, which is a vulnerable, open, intimate, and borderline sexual, although there's no petting, kissing, nudity, or groping. It doesn't hold the same activity as a contextual container of sexuality would. But you're very much dancing on that line between sexuality and intimacy, which are two very distinct worlds. So it's opening women back up, having them flower back to the divine feminine and getting reconnected to it's safe to be a woman. You don't have to look over your shoulder. While I'd still recommend in this day and age having a buddy walk to you to your car if you're in a dark, unfamiliar neighborhood, that's just common sense. But in relationship to eye gazing with a man across from a table or across from a yoga class or across from a coffee shop, it's safe to connect. All we want is to look in your eyes and know you. And when you look away or you're bashful or you bow your head in shame, it's frustrating. And I know we did that to you. That shame is something we put onto you so that we could dominate and control you and cajole you and manipulate you and get you to do what we want. But we're not happy when you're not proud, and you're not happy when you're not connected to us. So the Golden Man is very much a four-week exercise in reconnecting with the divine goddess and giving man an opportunity to restore himself back to his integral state, back to the state in which we were born. We weren't born to invent pornography. We weren't born to foot binding and cloaking and having women walk 10 feet behind us. Those were learned traits that were all created over the last 2,000 years, because if you really want to get down to the brass tacks, we're afraid of the power of women, which is why I'm thrilled to Hillary 2016. Let's see how scary it can get here on planet Earth. And when you surrender to the feminine and you embrace a woman's power, the other side of the coin gets revealed, and you think you're flipping heads all day. Well, there's actually a heads-tails scenario. And when you can produce a different outcome, an entirely new set of actions gets presented, and people's preconceived notions about what they're afraid of fall away, not over time, but instantaneously. And the Golden Man is about the practice of deconstructing the reality that men are born into now, that world of pornography and property and hyphenated names and this whole idea that women belong to us and jealousy and, you know, and monogamy is also a dying breed. And I know that it's going to take something for men to embrace the new model of what it looks like to be a woman who is honored and loved in the world, because it may not mean that that woman has one lover. And the person who's going to have to deal with that is the man, because we're the ones with the double standard. Everybody's heard the common definition that when a man sleeps around, he's a stud. And when a woman does it, she's a slut or a whore, or she's easy or loose. But there's really no nice way to say a woman who sleeps around unless you read the book, The Sacred Prostitute, and you can get some contextual construct around it. And that's why they called Mary a whore and the church took her out and all that, because they don't want us to know that that true power and creation happens through the birthing of the womb space. And, you know, like Ariel, you and I talked about this past week, you know, man can't create life by himself. Even with stem cell research, you can't do it without those eggs. And a woman can't fertilize eggs without sperm. So we need each other. But it's not just about the physical creation of human life. It's about the physical manifestation of life itself. And that's God energy. That's the Taurus. That's the coil. That's DNA. That's universal love intelligence. And it wants to come through. And as I joked about earlier, every time it comes through, we murder it. Because the truth is something human beings don't want to bear witness to. It's scary. So the Golden Man is a scary class. So for those of you that are going to be registering, men or women, it's going to be provocative. It's going to be confronting. But I'm also somebody who's been a stand-up comic for 10 years, and I've got a successful, you know, acting career. It's going to be fun. I'm speaking slowly and clearly on this program because majority of the people listening, like yours truly, are here for a divine purpose. We're not here to see what's on TV tonight. We didn't come here to buy a fancy car. We're not here to see if we can make $1 million by creating the next smartphone app. We are on a much different mission. So my cadence, my tone, my pacing, and the lack of humor in my speaking is only because I want people to get the message. But what I can promise in the class is we're going to do a lot of laughing, a lot of crying, and we're going to have a really good time. So I could break down the four classes and maybe do them one at a time. Sierra and Ariel, you could maybe, we could play
sure.
Here so it's not such a one-way street.
Sounds great.
Great. So the first class is called courting. Do you even know what courting is? Do you remember? Does anybody even remember what a Sadie Hawkins dance was, or when you used to stand in the gymnasium and the girls were on one side and the guys were on the other, and some brave boy would walk across the lonely floor to put his hand out and ask a girl to come and dance with him? That was what we call the bravest walk of a young man's life, because the biggest fear of a man is being rejected. And greater than that fear is to be rejected in the face of his peers. So those little dances and those little, you know, going up to the house and picking up your date, and the girl was never ready and you had to sit and talk to the parents for 30 minutes, those were the things that in my youth I loved talking to the parents. I loved getting to know who this woman was by virtue of her mother and father made her. So when I look at them, it was a study in what can I expect or what can I look forward to, or who is this person's creators? Well, it's this father and this mother. And that's gotten lost in the digital age. And being somebody whose place of origin was in 1969 in the northeast sector of the North American continent of planet Earth, I witnessed technology go from talking on a phone that plugged into a wall and you only had to dial four numbers to get somebody, to now we're in the digital age where everybody's got a cell phone. They can talk as long as they want. You can even see their face while you talk. The level of intimacy has been shattered by technology, and people don't court anymore. Ariel, Sierra, anything you want to speak to about that?
Well,
Ariel?
I do. Yes, I do think that there has to be, the foundation has to be laid between the male and female, and a lot of people just rush through that. They've got, you've got either some physical chemistry, something that is purely superficial, that will ignite the dating, and it goes way too fast, and the foundation is never laid. And the foundation has to be of trust and friendship, common goals, honoring each other, being truthful with each other, learning communications, and that whole, you know, foundation of the relationship, it's all backwards.
Yes.
And it's, you know, you meet, and maybe on the first or the second date, you know, people decide to be intimate. Without that foundation there, it's empty. And then when the heat cools off, you take a look and you think, oh my God, I've got nothing in common with this person.
Yes.
You know, and then you have either regret or resentment.
Shame.
Or something, or shame, and that. So that, to me, that is the critical missing component when a male and female first meet each other. They don't take the time to build a very strong foundation. And it, I mean, in the 40s and the 50s and for half of the 60s anyway. You know, people, couples would date and become friends and for a year or 2 years or whatever, and then, you know, they really took their time. And if you'll notice,
yeah.
I mean, the marriages that are still, you know, having their 30th wedding anniversary, those are people that took the time to build the foundation. And if you take the physical, sexual part of the relationship and put it on the shelf, look at what you've got. And if you, because, you know, when you get to be older, a lot of that is not nearly as important. And when the sexual heat goes away,
yes,
then you really see that I don't really have much here, do I?
Yeah.
So it really does further the divine union is about harmonic resonance between a man and a woman, between two people, the harmonic resonance of frequency. And
yeah.
And when you have that, and then you build the trust, you build the honest communication and true nurturing. When you nurture each other, you have unconditional love. You have, and these are the qualities of the divine feminine, and you know, the divine masculine brings that set of masculine things as the providing, the protector, the guardian of the family unit, and all that. But it is the qualities of the divine feminine, I think, that really cement it with unconditional love, nurturing and healing, compassion,
yeah.
And mercy, and intuition, and having the male respect the woman's intuition instead of, you know, pshaw. You know, that is what I feel is needed in the relationships today, is to the foundation needs to be very strong. And then if you have a really foundation and you've got your best friend and somebody that you really enjoy being with, then if you can add the sacred sexual union on top of that, that's when you have the sacred beloved. And I don't know anybody who doesn't want that.
That is so beautiful.
Well, I would like to actually even speak to that too, Ariel, being a lesbian. It's you know, we crave that in our partners also. And it's the balance, finding the balance within ourselves of the divine masculine and feminine, and craving that and wanting that, to be able to have that in my partner also. So it's not necessarily mapping it on to man-woman. It's divine masculine, divine feminine inside of each other, cultivating that spirit, cultivating that inside of each other, and relying upon each other for both aspects.
Right.
Yes, so you bring up a great point there too, Sierra, in that, you know, there are the physical game pieces of, you know, we say masculine male has genitalia that have us point and go, okay, that's a man. And then we have feminine woman and we see genitalia and go, okay, so that's a woman. Yet I have people very near and dear to me that have had the courage and the resources to break their life from having been a man their whole life and now they're a woman. I've researched through being a peer sexuality counselor, countless case studies of people who were born with similar and mutilated genitalia because it was their human body, their biological game pieces, I like to refer to it several times on this show, that the doctors looked at it and said, okay, it looks more like a vagina than a penis, so let's just construct it to be a vagina. And then when that person is old enough to start to articulate their sexual preference, they've got to go back into surgery. So I think one of the things that will come up a lot for people when you start to delve into honoring the divine feminine and creating life, moving the energy through that sacred vortex that is the womb, is people will start to go, again, back to the good book and try to distinguish man and woman, when in actuality there is a lot of things in the bedroom. There are two spirits, there are two energies, there are two physical bodies, there are two different sets of both genders. The man has the male-female, the woman has the male-female, and then there's just the one that maybe for that particular individual is more dominant or has been more nurtured or has been more expressed in the world. So without having any determination about people's particular views, as a Libra like you, I'm just seeking balance. I don't like a woman that doesn't have an edge. I like a tough woman. I like a woman that's got, you know, some balls, as we say. And I don't want the little beauty pageant umbrella girl that has the pretty shoes. I can appreciate it, but I like a girl that likes to, you know, I don't know, whatever metaphor you're into.
What you're
saying
is that a woman that has the masculine and feminine in balance would have the fortitude and the courage,
yes,
as well as the nurturing and intuition. And that's really the balance that we're talking about, whether it's in an individual that has a male body, a female body, whether it's two individuals of the same sex, two individuals of different sexes, it's still about harmonic balance between the masculine and feminine polarities within that individual that has to be in balance with another pair. So it's actually four things. And those four things have to be very delicately balanced to continue with the upward spiral. And that's really what it all comes back to is any relationship spiraling upwards, or are you desperately trying to keep it from plummeting? And as Lavendar said, there's only two kinds of energy, up spiral and down spiral. You're either in growth and ascension, or you're in degeneration and until you know, totally burned out and crash and burn.
Yes.
So keeping all four of those components in any relationship between any two people is really the critical key, keeping the balance between the masculine and feminine. And as I said before, and I just want to reiterate, men have need for some men, obviously not you, Michael, but the...
Well, let's see. What are you going to posit, and then let's see.
Well, to embrace their creativity, even if it's, you know, like in cooking or sewing, and if you have, you know, I'm not going to sew that button on, I'll throw the shirt away. Well, just little things that men do to reject their own feminine side, because society has trained them that, you know, if you're going to be the alpha stallion, you can't have anything that looks weak, and people have mistakenly labeled feminine qualities as weakness. You know, the ability.
That's a big
to be,
mistake. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yes. Very good.
The ability to be empathetic, the ability to nurture others, the ability to consider others at times, what you can do to help. It's that givingness, and a lot of people mistake kindness for weakness, and especially I think on this show it should be just really, really the point driven home that men engage in some kind of creativity, experiment with things that, intuition, every man has psychic ability, every man has intuition, but it has been oppressed because of, the macho image that a lot of men, but I'll tell you, honestly, the men that listen to this program are not really the men we're talking about.
Right, I know. There we go.
Everybody
therein lies the rub.
The men that listen to this show, especially, we have some regulars that call in, and they completely get it. They have already attained that balance, and they have honored the goddess at every point. And speaking of that, we actually have some callers with questions, so let's take about...
Great, I think we should open it up.
Well, I was going to say we'll take about 5 or 10 more minutes for any other things that you wanted to talk about or ask Sarah. But let's go for about another 5 or 10 minutes, then we'll start taking some calls.
Great, ladies, thank you, and thank you for that. It really does bring it back to the first class of the Golden Man, being around courting yourself, getting to know yourself, dating yourself, being grounded in who you are, what you offer, what you love, what you're passionate about, what your skills are, and what you want to be of service to in the world. And when one can know themselves in that way, then they can truly offer themselves to a partner, whether it be for an evening or a lifetime, doesn't matter. That's one thing I don't deal with in the class. We do talk about relationships, but the relationship that you forge and the length of human time and space that takes is entirely up for creation between the two people. Now, if a man and a woman want to come and take the Golden Man class, I recommend it, so they have a familiar common denomination of distinctions in which they can create together. But that courting is something that's the first class, the courtship, the dance. In the animal kingdom, when there's only 11 animals in the animal kingdom that mate for life, everyone else is polygamous. Everyone else is chasing and having sex with anything that can't outrun it. So the opportunity to be monogamous really does live as a human created phenomenon that I have no judgment for or against. It is just something that's been so ingrained as the way that it's now collapsing under the weight of its own ideology, and I don't see it lasting much longer. And I think we need to then in turn with courtship, we go to dating. We need to start to master dating if we're actually going to look at a world where the woman can express herself in multiple ways versus I got to find my man and I need to settle down and he's mine. That's one way to go about it, if that's the reality you want to create. But in my particular view, we have a long way to go for people to, get to that point at that level of maturity that it takes to sustain over time, like some of these marriages that are celebrating 30, 40, and 50-year wedding anniversaries. So we'll see more of that in the future. out of the Golden Man and other things that are being offered in the world. There are a lot of things out there. I'm not the only thing. Again, there's no new ideas in the idea sphere. It's just the different expressions of what's already the water in which we swim. So the second class is about dating, and we're going to be going over practices and approaches to really honoring that animal kingdom presenting, like puffing out your chest or throwing your feathers out or doing that dance that we do in the dating process. You get an opportunity to see someone living vibrantly in their game piece, in their environment, and that's when you begin to turn on the machine of sexuality and where you enter into the danger zone once you kick on that oxytocin output. Then you've got a new construct between man and woman and woman and woman and man and man, even though men don't have oxytocin. There's still an equivalent to that in our machinery where we thrive and crave to have sexual activity with each other. So that's the third class, is about sex. And when we start to enter into that sacred covenant of lying down with another human being and sharing ourselves in that way. And then the final piece is relationship. Relationship to man and woman, but really just relationship. And that relationship we have to the thing itself. So that's the Golden Man class. I'm offering it at a 4 weeks. It's 90 minutes per course, per session, pardon me. So it's 4 Mondays in May, 90 minutes each from 5:30 p.m. Pacific till 7 o'clock p.m. Pacific. You can register for the class. Actually, over the next week, I'm offering it at an introductory discount to the Starseed Radio Network listeners at $129. That's $129 USD, U.S. dollars. It's traditionally $199, so next Monday the price will go back up to its $199 mark. But for those of you that would like to register, you have until Monday to do that. And that's the Golden Man class. I'll be starting again Mondays in May. I'm thrilled to be leading this course and working with human beings again to empower them with their relationship to courting, dating, sex, and relationship itself, and primarily honoring and expressing our all but extinct birthright to lift up the divine goddess and celebrate the womb of the earth and of the earth mother and of the woman and of our own mothers. So that's the Golden Man. And then you did mention where to find that is at myearthschool.com. That's www.myearthschool.com. People can find my bio and the course description and register themselves at myearthschool.com. And I'm working closely, of course, with two amazing women. They were the co-creators and conspirators of My Earth School, and they've spent the better part of the last calendar year launching this school. It's a cosmic classroom of community and coaching where people basically get what it is they need. And I'm happy to be under the umbrella and working with myearthschool.com. And my last venture before we open up to calls here in the next 5 to 7 minutes is called Conscious Conversations. And in brief, if you have any questions about it, I'll leave it to you to look at that. But in my meditation, I also got that I'm to be hosting people on the west side of Los Angeles, the City of Angels here in the state of California, on the west coast of the United States, to host people who are empaths, healers, psychics, clairvoyants, channelers, Pleiadians, aliens, extraterrestrial beings, spiritual beings having that human incarnation, teachers, life coaches, spiritual practitioners, and people who, for the most part, have been told that they're weird. Sierra, Ariel, have you ever had somebody tell you that you were weird?
Oh, yeah.
Yes, and I'm quite proud of that.
Yes, and you should be proud, because I'm going to, again, as the wordsmith that I am, I'm going to distinguish the adjective of the word weird. There are two definitions of weird as an adjective. One, of, relating to, or caused by witchcraft or the supernatural, magical. Two, of strange or extraordinary character, odd. fantastic. So if anybody listening to the call or listen to the show or the podcast, however you're listening to this program in this moment, if anybody calls you weird, say thank you. Thank you for seeing me as somebody who's odd, fantastic, magical, supernatural. It is a compliment to be weird. And as a walk-in, as Michael, I noticed more and more that I was weird. I was different. I was extraterrestrial. And the only way to feel at home is to sit and commune with like-minded people. And that's what came through in my readings with Kiralee and at thehealingorchid.com. She's amazing. But she's the clairvoyant that really kind of held my hand through my walk-in. And Kiralee basically said, they're telling us you should host people and start a conversation. And then I just thought of Conscious Conversations, which is ironic because that's the name of Jessica, one of the co-founders of myearthschool.com. That's the name of her weekly newsletter, is Conscious Conversations. So there's quite a divine soup that we're all swimming in there. And Conscious Conversations is building. It's building into a weekly gathering. And it's been awesome so far. We've been doing it for a month here in out of my home in Southern California. And by the end of the summer, I'm going to be moving that to a larger space where it'll be open to the public. And we'll be having keynote speakers and PowerPoint presentations, music, meditation, and a morning catered breakfast for people of all dietary commitments. And that is going to turn into about a three-hour event that will happen every Saturday morning on the west side in Los Angeles. So you can look for a Conscious Conversations conference. That will be coming soon, and I'm excited to be, you know, co-creating that and doing that with these other people that are coming forth. And LA is a trippy city, man. It's a great place to be if you're weird, because nobody here is normal, and everybody here is serving the unfolding of a dream and the unfolding of their highest self. And in the process, I think we're all here to serve. And it's an honor and a privilege to serve the listeners on the show today and to make myself available for, you know, any questions, comments, how-abouts, what-ifs about anything we've discussed today. And again, I know we have another half an hour, but I'm just really honored to have been a guest on the program today, ladies. So thank you so much for having me.
Well, it's been absolutely wonderful. Yeah,
I agree. You're welcome. Oh, and I want to say, I also want to celebrate, I forgot to mention this, the third class of the Golden Man is about sexuality and sex. So I want to say today we celebrate Gideon Sunback and the people who founded the zipper. So for all of you who have zippers on your pants, and anybody who helps you unzip those pants tonight, tomorrow, or when this conversation's complete, we all thank you, Gideon Sunback, and those of you who created the zipper. We are humbled and honored to have such a great invention to enjoy each other's bodies. So thank you for the zipper today. Happy zipper day, everybody.
Okay, well, we are going to we're going to open the switchboard now, and if you are listening on the switchboard and you have a question or comment for Michael, you need to press 1 on your keypad so that we know you wish to come on the air. First of all, we are going to be talking to Joseph. Just let me get your mic open, sweetie. Hi, Joseph, you're on the air.
Hello, Ariel, and hello, my brother Michael.
Wow, brother Joseph, how are you?
What an exciting, exciting show. Let me just, I'm going to dangle a few things in front of you, and we will talk later, because I could talk to you for 2 hours. I have had my third walk-in, and it's not like the first two, buddy. Let me tell you, the third one is amazing. It puts you in cosmic consciousness. Yeah.
Great.
I've become a cosmic taxi cab, as my guides put it, and I have regularly ascended beings who use my body to be here on the earth.
Mm.
And that's a whole new experience. That's a real learning experience. I have children your age, so this really opens up my heart to hear your generation speak of this incredible. I mean, I had my first walk-in when I was 12 years old in 1950. There was no one around to tell me what was going on, and it's taken all these years. And only when I met those wonderful women you've been talking to, and Lavendar down in New Mexico last year. Lavendar did my chart, and she assured me that I've been around a real long time, and that I have come through the lineage not only of Athena, but Jesus and Mary Magdalene and right down the line. I want to, oh, God, if I start talking, I'm just going to open up so many doors. Anyway, I will be in touch with you. My name is Joseph, and I will refer to this conversation. What else? Oh, I was teaching a Reiki class in London. I'm a Reiki master. I was teaching a Reiki class in London, and I used the word weird. And this little woman stood up, and she was about 4 feet tall, max. She was redheaded with freckles and wearing a green dress. And I thought, wow, what an interesting woman. And she said, now, would you be knowing what weird means? And I said, no, but I have a feeling I'm about to find out. And she said, it's a Gaelic word. She said, it means in my own way. And I will tell you, what came over me was the most profound energy. And I looked at her and I said, I will never use that word unconsciously again. And she said, see to it that you don't. When the class was over, I wanted to find her and thank her. And I turned to the woman who had organized the class for me and I said, who's the little short lady, red hair, freckles in the green, who we talked about weird? And she looked at me and she said, what are you talking about? She said, nobody said that. And I just thought, thank you, thank you, thank you. So weird,
Joseph,
is a very precious word.
Joseph, you're so weird, and that is so weird. And I love you.
Thank you. Thank you, Michael, and I love you right back. I'll be 74 years old in June, and I feel younger than you are. So that gives you some idea of what you know, what's going on here. Thank you for being on, and thank you, Ariel and Sierra, for putting this in the archives. Oh, my goodness, it gives us a real touch point to go back to and check in on from time to time. So,
beautiful.
Much
thank
love.
You, Joseph. Thank
You're
you.
Welcome. And
thank you so
oh,
much.
Girls. Girls, have a wonderful trip. I'm sorry I won't be going with you, but I'm having surgery on my eyes on Monday, so I think I will miss being with you this time. Ariel, would you send me some kind of a list of where you're going to be at different times so I can keep up with you all? I'd really appreciate it. Okay.
Well, Joseph, we know that though you won't be there physically, you will definitely be there in spirit and in your light body. So I will send you our itinerary.
Thank you. You know I'll be there.
Mm-hmm.
Love to you both. And Sierra, hugs and kisses to you, honey.
Oh, I love you, sweetie. Miss you.
Yeah, and I spoke to Lavendar right before the broadcast began, so we've really touched base now. She's an amazing woman. Anyway, I look forward to meeting you, Michael, and to sitting down and talking with you, because that's the only way we're going to be able to communicate fully.
Yeah, bye. I got it, Joseph. Thank you.
Okay. Bye, ladies, and bye, Michael.
Bye-bye. Thanks,
bye,
Joseph.
You bet.
Godspeed with your surgery. Yeah. I can't
Thank
wait
you.
To see you and be seen by your new eyes. Excellent.
Oh, yes. Well, my cataracts are being removed, and it's a pretty simple operation these days. So.
Great. Good.
But it needs
Good.
To be done. Okay,
good.
Much
Excellent.
Love.
Thanks,
bye-bye.
Joseph.
Yeah.
That's great. Joseph, myearthschool@gmail.com. You can email me, and I look forward to connecting with you. That's great. Wow, all your listeners, that amazing?
Oh, man.
Yeah, we have a wonderful Starseed audience. They are awake, they're conscious, and we just really have a great, great bunch of people in our community. Excuse me.
Let's meet more.
Anyone else that has a question or comment, you need to push 1 on your keypad so that I know that you're not just listening.
There's something else that I wanted to touch base on earlier. We had talked about how, you know, all of our male listeners, you know, they're already in touch with what we're talking about. What we want to encourage people out there when they're listening to the archives is to pass it on to your male brothers and fathers and husbands and anyone that you feel like you want to share this with to help, you know, awaken, to start the process, to possibly even see if they'd be interested in, you know, partaking in Michael's class. So that's really where we're going to make the difference, is to pass this information on to the men who could really use it. So I encourage the women and the men out there to, when they're listening, to consider if there's somebody in your life that you feel like this information could really affect really profoundly, or just share it. You know, don't keep it all to yourselves. This is all about, you know, passing the word on and sharing everything that you can with the people you love.
Yes, and that is one of the things that we're breaking the cycle of man keeping things of value to himself. The days of hoarding are over. It's time to go public with the things that make a difference for you, with the things that are of intrinsic value to you, with the good services, products, wares, and stuff that has you heighten your consciousness and raise your awareness. And this is a call to all men listening and all women. Gift this course to the men in your life as well. And I promise I will send them back to you full-blown partners who are ready, willing, able, and looking forward to honoring the Divine Goddess and doing it in a way where you can actually then in turn also show up for them and feed them power right back, that power-source relationship. So thank you for pointing that out as an archived tool that this is. And I'll be at MeyerSchool.com in perpetuity until this physical, you know, this game piece expires. But I'm thrilled to be doing this work over the next 40 years. It's going to be fantastic.
Wonderful. And once again, that is MyEarthSchool.com. And we're going to be bringing another caller on in just a moment, as soon as Sahara's got the information that we need to have.
Great.
And, you know, while you were talking, I had this visualization of, and I don't know if this is something that that you've already thought about or that you already plan on doing, but if you had men and women together in the same room, physically in the same room, and this is a couple, and you might have done this in your counseling, a couple that was having issues between them and some discord, to have, you know, the role reversal and have the woman imitate what she thinks the man is doing and vice versa, and let them see not only how they are being perceived, but and certainly there will be some exaggeration, but the exaggeration would be something to take a look at. But yeah, if the men could switch places and the women could switch places, you know, with each other, and, you know, the old saying, walk a mile in my shoes, and really learn to appreciate what each one brings to the relationship, I think that would be a valuable tool. Now we have another caller here with a question. And I'm just going to go ahead and pick it up, Sahar. We're going to hear from Teresa. Hello,
okay,
Teresa. Hello, Teresa.
Yes.
You're on the air.
Yes, I am.
Yes, you're
Hello.
On the air.
Hi, Teresa.
Hi. Hi. Okay, well, I have just tuned into the show, and I got hit with like six different things, the dating thing, the walk-in thing. I don't go to a lot of psychics. I've been psychic and aware of it since I was two, and I've been practicing it for consciously for 40 years. So, and I've worked with the beds and all kinds of stuff, but that's just something I used to do. I've been clinically dead three times. And each specific time that I came back, I was definitely somebody else. And I have memory of who I was before and who I am now in nine previous lifetimes. So there's like 12 of us together all the time. So I have my own blog talk show, And I heard about you guys from Jill Renee Feeler, and I finally got things got situated where I could actually sit down and listen to the show today. So when I tuned in, they were talking about walk-ins and relationships and sex and all that, you know. And I actually have a few men angry at me right now because I don't, you know, I'm like, there's nothing wrong with you. There's still, like, there doesn't have to be anything wrong.
Yeah.
I just don't want to date anybody right now. You
yes.
know, I like having all of my free time devoted to my listeners on my show, my daughter, myself, my rocks. I'm a gemologist, and I do stones for people. I'm a member of the Rock Nation. And it's like I got a really full life right now, and I don't want to keep making the same relationship mistakes that I've made in this lifetime.
Yes.
You know,
yes.
And trying to balance not in, – in 2008, it hit me. I mean, I laid on my living room floor. Literally every single thing in my life was stripped out, and I became instantly aware of 9 lifetimes. I mean, I couldn't write fast enough.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, Teresa, thank you for balancing. Thank you. I just want to acknowledge you before you posit your question or comment by acknowledging you for – the fortitude and the patience and the wherewithal you've had to be able to sustain all of your earthly experiences, in addition to hold the space for these 12 total existences that you carry, in addition to who you are for your daughter and the Rock Nation and your own listenership. And you know, clearly what these men, just in defense of their annoying persistence to date you, you are amazing. And they and they see your magnificence and they want a piece of that. So
right.
I get you don't have the space for it right now, and on behalf of them I apologize for if we're being too forward, but clearly you are a magnificent woman, and let it not get lost on your frustration that you have so much to offer, and I totally honor and respect that you don't have the time and space in your life at this time to have one more relationship to manage. So I just couldn't step over any of that. So thank you.
Thank you. How did you know you were a walk-in? Because, see, I'm trying to figure out, am I still me and I just know this stuff, or am I really somebody else now at this point, and then I need to cultivate that in me?
Yes.
I've been clinically dead 3 times, and I changed radically each time. And
yes.
Radically, my life, I mean, new state, new car, new habits, new clothes,
yeah.
new everything.
Yeah.
I just, everything changed.
Yeah, my experience,
I mean,
exactly. And how I knew is I worked with people just like Arielle and just like Lavendar and just like Sierra, you know, my friend Kiralee, who's now my friend, at the time was the psychic, clairvoyant, and spirit guide channeler that was recommended by my former wife. I, too, have a new address, a new car, a new wardrobe.
Yep.
The only things that are still familiar is I have a bank account from the guy who was here before me, and luckily, you know, he works well enough to set me up, and now I can build on that and keep working toward what I'm now here for as my mission. But it was when I sat in that reading with someone, an intuitive, a clairvoyant, a channeler, that I could step outside of myself and let somebody else guide me so that I knew I wasn't crazy. And the first words out of her mouth at that epic 3.5-hour psychic reading that I got that fateful day on July 15th of 2011, she said, the minute she turned that first tarot card, she looked into my eyes and said, it's as if you are a new person. And I burst into tears because it was the first time I had an exterior environmental, societal, other thing outside of my own consciousness acknowledge the shift. So all I could say is to stay connected to, you know, this program and these women that run this network, and to keep building that, and don't be afraid. Don't, you know, coming out was the hardest thing for me, to come out as a walk-in, because I really was concerned about how I was going to look, to the community that I no longer associate myself with. I was like, wow, these people aren't going to want to hang out with me anymore, but I don't hang out with them anyway because they're not my community. So
I
came out to a select group of people, and when the time was right, I went public. And while I haven't built a new persona on Facebook and I don't have a new website for Michael Boise Thomas and all that, I do have for myself a clear delineation between Michael the walk-in and my actor's brand and the boy that was raised in New York, and I just spent time with my mom, and I can manage it. But it all lives under the divine umbrella that Spirit is giving me this opportunity to walk in this body and deliver this mission. So trust, surrender and trust, and go public.
Okay.
Don't be afraid.
I kind of figured you were going to say that.
Well,
I thought just starting a radio show and being really open-minded and helping people that would be enough. But I guess I'm going to have to call one of the ladies up and...
Because I
get a lot of emails, and they're really, and I get a lot of personal calls. We love you, we love your show and everything, but when are you going to talk to us about what you're being told from the cosmos? When are you going to talk to us about that part of you and stuff like that? So it's not just earthlings that are doing it, so they're not human beings that are doing it, but the animals are doing it. I mean,
that's right.
I'm dreaming it. It's like it's time. It's really time to, you know, just learn to teach people to breathe and listen.
Yes.
Oh.
Yes. Thank you, Teresa.
Wow.
Thank you for answering
the call.
Okay,
thank you so much,
okay?
You guys. I love all you guys, and I hope you have a great show. And I'll have to listen to the recording because this is such a terrible phone, and it's here at the lake today. It's really overcast and a lot of metals in the air and stuff. It's just really bad when it does this here. The phones just don't work. So.
All right.
But
well,
I love
good.
You
That's
guys,
why we record
thank
them.
Thank you so much.
Yes, you're welcome.
Thank you. Thank you, Teresa.
All right, thank you, ladies.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
So great. And Ariel, just on the heels of what Teresa said, I just thank you again for that reading on Sunday, you know, distinguishing my astrological natal chart as Thomas Michael, born in New York, and as now Michael Boise Thomas as the walk-in with a distinct set of planets and houses with a whole different makeup. I mean, that was a question I had with some other practitioners that I know here in LA, and it got answered, and I called her up, and she was just giddy. I sent her the charts, and she was freaking out because she was so excited to read them. So thank you for the work that you put in to do that, and it's really made a difference in knowing that we're all right on time, but we need that spiritual punch in the arm, that affirmation by Spirit to tell us that you're doing great, kid. You're right where you're supposed to be. So thank you.
Right. Well, you're quite welcome. And I was tracking while you were talking, and you kept referring to July 15th.
Mm.
You know, that's right when the sun is going to galactic degree. Any month, and this is for everybody, any month, generally between the 15th and the 20th, depends on the month and the year, because sometimes it could be 15 through 18, or it could be, you know, 16 through 19. But when the sun approaches galactic degree is when you should pay attention to events that happen, doors that open, doors that close, people that show up, people that leave, anything that happens during that window each month between roughly the 15th and the 20th could have galactic importance and galactic timing, and things that you can then track, and certainly you want to put your crystals outside during that time. So that is really kind of what I was thinking. So okay, July 15th, that's a galactic window there, a star date window, and also when your walk-in came, as we talked about, it was Pleiadian lineup. It was you know, like right after Pleiadian lineup is when this happened, and I suspect that it had been in the works prior to that, and they waited for the timing, for the galactic timing, because the portal opens for galactic interaction with this planet. And then again in November when you really started being, you know, settled in, that was the next Pleiadian lineup. And with the mark of the Pleiades on your chart, then every May and November would be of significance to you.
Mm. So, good. Well, I'm looking at the calendar, and Mondays in May is when we start doing this class. So the Golden Man is coming to a May 2012 near you, and I couldn't be more excited to be with your listeners and everybody else who's already coming on board with the class and using a very high-tech software to manage it. People can raise their hands. We can break people off into groups. And really looking forward to getting back in the classroom with humanity and healing this ancient wound of man v woman and just bringing the quickening, having it all come together here. It's a beautiful time to be alive. We're very lucky to be here right now.
I agree. And we have one more caller with a question for you.
Great.
Next, we are going to talk to Lori. As soon as your mic opens up, sweetie, just hang on a second. Okay, it's open up. Lori, you're on the air.
Hi, Ariel. Hi, Sierra. Hi, Michael.
Hi, Lori.
Hey, I am going with the gals to France, my husband and I.
Great.
And we're
going
to be doing our wedding vows. We've been married 22 years.
Mm.
And I am just thrilled with this show. It's amazing. And I don't know if we need the class or not. I guess I'll let you decide that. But when you were talking about monogamy, I wasn't sure where you were going with that.
Well, for me, there are different tiers of vows where people have honored them and they haven't. And the only thing I can speak to is my own experience in the longest relationship that I've known, and that was the 10 years I spent with my former wife. And what I can tell you, Lori, that is the intention is to empower you for another 22 years, is every year on our wedding anniversary, we would put our wedding video in and we would watch the ceremony. And when the vows came to be created and repeated, we would sit knee to knee and look at each other, left eye gazing in White Tantra, the connection soul to soul, spirit to spirit is given through the left eye. So you position your face to face one another, specifically so the left eyes are connected. And we renewed our vows every year. And what I noticed last year with the walk-in was that the person that gave the word to be married is no longer here. And that's what had my marriage dissolve. But prior to that, I also witnessed our commitments and our goals had shifted. And if you heard what Ariel had said earlier and what Lavendar has said in the past about one of the fundamental components in marriage is, are your goals the same? So with that context of monogamy is just to continually every 365 days check in and re-up for another year of existence together, being aware of, are our goals the same? Do these vows still ring true? And it moves me that you're going to such a magical romantic place as France for the purpose of the trip with the women here and renewing your wedding vows with your husband. And as long as the vows ring true for you, are you going to be creating new ones, or are you going to go with the ones that you originally agreed to 22 years ago?
Actually, we've written our own this time around. So
great. So that's in any business contract. In most businesses, your contract is only for a year or 3 years or 5 years, unless you get into real estate. Sometimes people buy a 10-year lease or a 20-year lease because they can get a better break on the price. Now, a contract in marriage was designed after the pagan way was deconstructed by Christianity, and property of the women became the right of the man so he could acquire more land, and the woman would take his name, and the vows were merely for a certificate of ownership. But in the opportunity of modern-day marriage, we have the context of recreating our vows newly every year. So I would just say that while you're renewing your vows this year, create a ritual, just like the pagans had with May Day or with what we now call Christmas. You could renew your vows every year and then just continue to look for yourself. around the empowering context of monogamy. And as we say, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. And another way that my wife and I stayed faithful to each other in the monogamous context was we would also tell each other whenever we were attracted to another person, and that requires a very high level of maturity to deal with your own issues around jealousy, being confronted by, you know, younger men or younger women, or things that eye candy that maybe don't serve the it's comparing. Whenever you compare something, it kills off both things. Nothing gets to thrive in the world of comparison. So I would just continue to create those vows newly and not wait another 22 years to re-up your contract in marriage. It really is a business agreement. It doesn't have anything, marriage doesn't have anything to do with the heart. It was designed as a business acquisition. It was a merger and acquisition. But your context for your marriage, clearly I could hear in your speaking the concern, well, what is that? What is the death of monogamy in the modern golden man mean for me? Well, all man wants is to be married. All men want to be married. And we will always wander. We will always window shop. We will always look for something else. But the opportunity for the golden man is to live your life one day, 1 month, 1 year at a time. And when you find the goddess that feeds you power, you will do whatever it takes to make sure she's taken care of and she has what she needs. So as long as your vows reflect your needs and what you expect of your man, he will honor his word, because that's all we have as men is our word, and we honor that. Women aren't designed to have honor. They're designed to have other things that we want and we lack.
Hold on a minute there. Stop the presses.
Didn't say you didn't have it, just said we're not designed that way. Men, all we have is our word. You have many divine traits that we seek, including the opportunity to procreate. But men, all we have is our word. If we go back on our word, we are for ourselves nothing. And there's nothing worse than being a no thing for yourself. And I don't mean that in the spiritual, heightened, meditative state of being no thing and everything. I mean it like you're worthless. And that's why the golden man has intrinsic worth through his word. So that's something to chew on, Lori. And if you want to play around with that or get your husband in on a conversation, again, you can always email me at myearthschool@gmail.com. And I'm happy to have any and all conversations around the class with our listeners on the broadcast today as we get close to winding down the program. So is there anything else, Lori? I'd like to give you the last word on that thought.
No, I appreciate the information, and it's so true. Though I think what's kept us really in love with each other is that friendship. And I have to say that our foundation was built fast in this lifetime, but I think we've been building that foundation for many lives. It's worked for us, and I think that's part of it as well.
Great. I'm happy for you both. And here's to another 22 years of being in love with each other.
Well, thank you so much.
Yeah, you're welcome. Thanks for tuning in today. And have a great trip. Bon voyage. And laissez les bon temps rouler, as they say down in the Cajun part of the country. Have a great time. Let the good times roll.
Thank you so much.
Okay. Well, yeah, thank you so
welcome.
Much for calling, Lori. And I'll see you in less than a week.
All right. Real.
Okay.
Bye, Sierra.
Okay.
Bye, Lori.
Bye, Lori. Thank you. Okay. Well, we just have 2 minutes left here. So in that time, I would like to thank you so much, Michael, for spending this time with us, and to thank our audience for tuning in. I do want to remind everyone that for the next 3 shows, it will be Anastasia guest hosting the show and Sahar, because we will be gone for 3 Tuesdays. So please do tune in and hear what Anastasia has to say, as well as the guests that she will be interviewing. And Sierra, I'll see you on Friday.
Yay!
Yeah. So everyone, please check out myearthschool.com. And your email again, Michael?
Is myearthschool@gmail, and the name of the class is The Golden Man. And merci beaucoup, mes amis, and bon voyage, and have a wonderful time. And to everybody I'll be in class with on May 7th at 5:30 Pacific, I want to invite you to just be love and bring everyone into your heart. In the meantime, thank you so much for listening. And I like to say, rather than onward and upward, I like to say onward and inward. And I'll see you all in that beautiful heart space. Thank you.
Thank you so much, everyone. And on behalf of Starseed Radio Academy, good night.
Good night.
Bye-bye.
Good night.
You've been listening to Starseed Radio Academy. Visit our website at www.starseedhotline.com.